Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Hollywood knows sex plus violence equals bums in seats. They also know that you have to keep it fresh and new. So this week I'm talking about three movies that in different ways deal with the matrix between sex and violence and the power dynamic within it. I'm looking at three movies playing at TIFF right now. One's a thriller from Quebec, a comedy from Japan, and a, could call it a drama, from Korea. There's a city boy who falls prey to a domineering farmer, a businessman who falls prey to a gang of traveling dominatrixes, or dominatrices, and a family who falls prey to their own lust, selfishness, and rage. Warning, this review contains adult content. Listeners, be aware. Tom at the Farm, directed by Xavier Dolan. When Tom, played by Xavier Dolan, drives out to the country to read a eulogy for his young lover, Guy, he thinks he'll be gone after the funeral. He agrees to spend the night at his mother's house, even sleeping in his lover's bedroom. But in the middle of the night, he's attacked by a mysterious man. It's Frank, played by Pierre-Yves Cardinal, the homophobic older brother of his late lover. He threatens Tom if he tells Agathe, his mother, played by Elise Roy, that Guy was gay, or that he was his lover. Tom is forced to pretend Guy was straight, had a girlfriend, thus completely erasing his own status from the equation. But it doesn't stop there. Frank is this domineering, abusive bully. He's also much bigger and stronger than the diminutive Tom. Soon enough, Tom is put to work milking cows. He's dressing in Guy's old clothes. And Frank dismantles his car, chases him down when he tries to run away. So he's trapped. Tom finds himself falling into the role of Frank's submissive younger brother, regularly punched, kicked, beaten up, and threatened with death. Sexually frustrated Frank channels all the blame onto Tom. And Tom has some sort of mental shift where he finds himself sexually attracted to Frank and accepts any physical and mental abuse as if it's his own fault. What is Frank's problem anyway? Why doesn't he have any friends? What's his hidden secret? And will Tom ever come to his senses and get the hell out of there? This is Xavier Dolan's fourth film and the first one based on someone else's story, someone else's play. This one's a weird, captive of a redneck horror story with lots of psychosexual overtones. I like this. It's not perfect. Tom's sudden transformation from city boy to hick seems too abrupt somehow. And if he really feels threatened, why doesn't he just call 911? There were telephones. But Frank and Tom's abusive friendship, the core of the movie, seems disturbingly real. And Dolan's careful filmmaking and precise editing leaves you with a chilling feeling at the end. It reverberates in the windmills of your mind long after the movie's over. R100, directed by Matsumoto Hitoshi. Katayama, played by Omori Nao, is a shy, milquetoast kind of guy who sells mattresses for a living. His wife is in hospital in a coma, so he takes care of his 6-year-old kid as well. He wants nothing more than to just listen to Beethoven's 9th Symphony, but to escape his daily stress, he turns to a leather-clad dominatrix for temporary relief. But his life changes dramatically when he signs an unbreakable 1-year contract. He'll experience the ultimate thrill, never knowing when or where a dominatrix will appear to shock and humiliate him. In his workplace, in his bathroom, on the street, in front of his kid, he never knows where. And there's a dozen of these strange dominatrices. Soon enough, it's taken over his life, inflicting hitherto unheard of sexual kinks. There's a queen of voices who terrifies Takayama by perfectly imitating his comatose wife's voice when he's blindfolded so he thinks she's there with him. And best of all is the queen of spit. This is a zoftic, leather-clad woman who does this dance and spits on him. Huge amounts of saliva. She's like, da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da, spits on him from across the room. It is a comedy. Can he escape from all this craziness, and does he really want to? You can tell whenever he reaches a new level of submission and humiliation when his face is distorted in a strange way and these animated ripples of contentedness flow outward from his mind. Meanwhile, every so often the movie switches to the dull people producing the film, sort of a meta-movie subplot, trying to make a movie with the ultimate restricted ratings. There's R14 for 14-year-olds, R20 for adults. So he says, let's make this R100, so only people who are 100 year old would be allowed to see it. I don't know. It has funny parts, very funny parts, but it gets more and more extreme in its absurdity as the movie goes on, and it sort of loses me after a while. It makes no coherent sense. It's more just a big Shaggy Dog story. Omori now is excellent as the nerdy anti-hero. Director Matsumoto Hitoshi is a dry stand-up comic, part of the Kansai Japan duo Downtown. His partner has a bit part in the movie as a cop. If you're into cheap and silly Japanese BDSM leather comedy, then this is the movie for you. Otherwise, you may want to wait for the video. Mobius, directed by Kim Ki-duk. Okay, brace yourself. A father, a mother, and their teenage son live in South Korea. Dad has an affair with a woman who has a small convenience store down the street. Mom and son find out and witness them in flagrante delicti. Mom goes ballistic, grabs a dagger she keeps hidden beneath a heavy Buddha's head. Dad fights her off. She breaks into her son's room instead and cuts off his dick. When he tries to get it back, she swallows it and runs away. And this is not a spoiler. This happens in the first 5 minutes of this film. Husband and son forced to live without mom and without one of their penises, peni. Dad researches the internet for bizarre ways to help his son achieve orgasm, including taking a pumice rock and rubbing it against his arm until it bleeds. Will dad cut off his own member to give to his son for a transplant, or will the son chop one off a random stranger running past? Who deserves dad's ex-girlfriend, father, son, or both? And will they learn to accept being stabbed in the back, literally? I mean, literally stabbed in the back. Okay, this is one of the weirdest movies around. It's filled with rape, incest, violent, alterna sex, repeated dismemberment of a particular member, that one, and more. There's some good points. There's no dialogue or subtitles, but it's not a silent movie in the whole thing. They just sort of pantomime or act out what's going on. Second good thing, the mom and the lover, it turns out, are played by the same woman. That's pretty amazing. It's not a funny movie. It's not a cute movie by any means. It's just nonstop, extremely repetitive violence. But I gotta say, it's pretty well made for what it is. But what is it? Well, apparently, director Kim Ki-duk felt his scripts have been treated badly or stolen by his interns. I'm just guessing here, but maybe the whole movie was a big to the powers that be in the Korean film industry. Who knows? Am I glad I saw it? I guess I am. It's unique and unusual, although structurally it's like all his movies, with a single, simple, symmetrical yin and yang plot, sin, retribution, penance, yin and yang, and karma. So I saw R100 at TIFF immediately, 3 minutes later, followed by Mobius, a double feature like no other. Like no other, thank God, like no other. See these two films together if you dare. Tom at the Farm, R100, and Mobius are all playing at TIFF. Go to tiff.net for tickets. And finally, very important, Toronto filmmaker John Grayson and Tarek Loubani are being held captive by the Egyptian military government. It's important to let people know this, so next time you're on Twitter, hashtag Free Tarek and John. Free Tarek and John, and let people know. This is Daniel Garber, the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.